Greetings, everyone. And welcome to the first ever Wednesday Night Book Club. I'm your host, Andy Rice. This is part of the Fried Rice Podcast group, I guess. This is a book club. I'm going to be reviewing different books that I read each week. I typically get through about a book a week. And fair warning now, you are going to be hearing a lot of Stephen King books because I am trying to get through all 79 of his books and novellas and short story collections and his Richard Bachman stuff. So it's a lot. I've gotten through well over half so far over the course of my life. I do read other things. I would have gotten through this a lot sooner if I just focused on him to read, but I love sci-fi. And there's a few other authors that I like to follow. John Scalzi and John Scalzi from the Old Man War series, which is one of my absolute favorites, and we will cover that at some point. Today we're going to be talking about a book called Rose Matter, and it's a 1995 Stephen King novel that deals with domestic violence. Kind of a bummer to start on. But it just happened to be the one that I read this week. I'm kind of on a Stephen King domestic violence kick, I guess. I had just read Dolores Claiborne. I read Needful Things, and then I read Dolores Claiborne, and then I read Rose Matter in that order. I think I maybe threw Cujo in between two of those books, but regardless, all three very much domestic violence cases. This one being the worst by a lot. So, just a little bit before we get into the book, a little bit about me. If you're not a fan of the podcast and you're wondering why I took a big fat bong rip before starting a book club, it's because that's what I do. I mean, it's Fried Rice Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Rice. Let's get fried. You know, I like to smoke weed. I like to read, you know. I wish I had a third thing that rhymed with those two others. I like Indeed.com. I don't know. I don't. But, when I love doing the podcast, and we talk about movies and life and other things, and we kind of get into sometimes philosophical things, which I love, and maybe we'll get into that here. It is with other people, and sometimes it can get... Most of the time, all the time, it's a little bit too hectic. There's a lot of us talking. We're working on getting a different setup so that it's a little bit cleaner audio, and we're improving. Season 3 will be a lot better than what Season 2's been. But I did want to kind of just get into something that I'm very passionate about, and that's reading. And I also want to preface this because a lot of people, I guess, I don't even know, there's not a racist or a ableist or an ist that I can put to these people. But there's a lot of people that seem to think that when you listen to an audiobook as opposed to physically reading a book, that it's somehow a diminished accomplishment, that somehow you didn't get the same amount of information that the person reading the book did. I am a huge proponent... proponent, does that mean I'm for or against it? Opponent would be against, so proponent would be for audiobooks. I am a huge fan. I've read, of course, in my lifetime I've read dozens of just a physical books, you know what I mean? Like I have a pretty healthy little collection at home, but I have read hundreds of audiobooks, and I'm going to say read this whole time. I'm not going to say listened to, because, and you can take, you know, take that however you want to feel. That's up to you. I say read. I can 100%, if you finish reading a book after I've just finished listening to it and you want to sit there and have a conversation, there is nothing that you will know that I don't know, okay? It's the same information. It's just this way I can listen to it while driving. and I can actually use that brain space that I usually allocate to self-destruction and harm, most likely, into story building, and you know, or painting the picture, you know, of what's going on in the book. So anyway, that's the warning. The asterisk at the top is I definitely do audiobooks. And there's going to be a lot of Stephen King. Another thing is these are going to be pretty spoiler heavy, I've decided. I mean, this is a book club. This isn't a book recommendation, I guess, channel. I might do that as well. I might do shorter things, you know, to try to get people to read the book before listening to this. But I mean, yeah, I'm assuming that you've read this, and I just want to give a few thoughts on it. So Rose Matter. I didn't actually take any notes for this one, so this is going to be kind of off the top of my head. But moving forward, I'll be a little bit more prepared. It's Wednesday today. I wanted to do the first little one. Maybe this actually will be more of a recommendation than a review. I mean, and moving forward, we'll do more review. But Rose Matter is a story about a woman named Rose. Rosie is what she likes to go by. Living in an extremely abusive relationship. Just for the fact that I don't want to trigger anyone or bring up anything, it's violent. It's not just you know, verbally or emotionally, you know, violent. It's physically violent to some of the worst degree that you can read, you know, in just a typical novel. And anyway, she one day decides to get out of the, like it's, I love that it's not the time he hit her. It's not right after an abusive fight or anything like that. It's she wakes up and she sees a drop of blood on her pillow, and it came from her nose probably, you know, because it's a regular occurrence that she would see, you know, blood on the sheets. And she knows that if he sees this coming home, that he's going to want to talk to her up close, which is what he says when he's going to just, you know, assault her and, like, you know, hurt her and punch her in the kidneys, which comes into play later. And so it's the middle, you know, it's in the morning and he's at work. He's a cop. She sees this blood and she just, like, it hits her. Like, what am I doing? Just leave. And so she, in like a very, I mean, we've all been through this where you decide to do something and then that little voice inside your head tells you to stay in what you think is the right place, the comfortable spot to be in, but it's not. It's a dangerous situation, you know? It's you need to get out of there. You need to change your life. You need to make it better, but you stay in that spot. You stay in that job you don't want. You stay in that relationship that's bad for you. You stay in that just, you stay because you just, like those that experiment with ticks, they put these fleas which can jump super 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 high, right? But they put them in a cup and they put a little wall or like a little divide, like something on top, and the fleas start hitting the top of the wall, the ceiling, and then when you take that off, that's as high as they can go from that point on, because they don't, like, they stay, like, that's just their new, they don't want to move forward, you know, they don't want to get better. I'm not probably not explaining this right, but she tells that voice to go fuck itself, basically, and very scared, she leaves, and she goes on a bus, and she goes to a town, like a big-sized town, 800 miles away, and she starts a new life. Meanwhile, her husband, who is one of the scariest, most well-written antagonists that I've ever read in a book. I mean, he's sadistic. He's a masochist. He's a sado. Was it just sado? I know it's sado, masochist. I think he likes both. I think he likes pain and giving pain. I mean, yeah, he's a biter. He's frightening, and he you know, deliberately gets the time off from work, does everything right so that he can track her down. And so in the audiobook, here's something that you don't get from reading it, which is kind of cool. And when you're reading, it's just there. I don't know how the text would be broken up to differentiate the two character points of view. But when you're listening to the book, you're listening to the female author, the female narrator, who is doing all of Rose's parts. But then it cuts to when Norman, the ex-husband cop, the crazy guy, when he is being when he's doing things, it's Stephen King reading it himself, because he narrates quite a few of his books, or at least a few of them, and he's a great audiobook narrator. He's got a good voice for it, and he's passionate about his own work, so that comes through. Although he really likes his stupid jokes, like that he writes and he likes his bad slang. If you listen to these, if you read these books, he's always got somebody in 1995 he writes this, and it still sounds like people are talking like the 70s, like, oh, far out, man. Like, it's just silly things. But she goes to this town. She joins, she gets involved with this battered women's shelter, and through that, she's able to find a place of her own. Now, during all of this, Norman is taking his time. He's going and he's trolling her, is how he puts it, which is a completely different connotation than what we use trolling to mean today. In this, he's just kind of, he uses it to sort of get into the mind of her, and so that he can pretend to be her and make all the same decisions that she would make. Like, he stops, he doesn't smoke because she doesn't smoke, you know, like those kind of things, just to get into the mindset. And then when he, so he's tracking her down, and he gets closer and closer and closer, and he starts doing some bad things, which we'll get to in just a sec. But she ends up going to this pawn shop and finding two things. One, a painting of this fierce-looking blonde woman with her back turned on a cliffside. Is the best way that I can kind of think of it, with a temple up front, kind of buried in the sand. And the second thing is a man named Bill, who's a handsome, kind of younger than her. She thinks he's way younger than her, because I think she, in her mind, thinks that she's older than she is because of the amount of extra years that she's probably had to live via abuse. You know, like, I'm sure if you're living in that kind of situation, time goes by a lot slower, I would imagine. Because, like, when I'm at work and it's a boring day at work, which is, of course, not any sort of comparison, but I'm just using what, like, on a bad day, they seem to go a lot slower. So I can imagine if that's the kind of situation you're in, it just seems like a year could feel like a decade, and it's horrific. So when she meets this man who's really only like a handful of years younger than her, she thinks she's ancient and he's this kid. But he, very 1990s rom-com situation, ends up going to her, I think it's her work, and not her house. Or it might have been her house. But anyway, knocking on her door and asking her out on a date, and she says yes. But so that's the beginning of their relationship. He's got a motorcycle, she's looking forward to going on it, but the painting seems to keep changing a little bit when she's looking at it, and she's starting to have dreams that are kind of taking place inside this painting, which is interesting. Meanwhile, Norman is just going on, at this point, the beginning of an extremely unhinged killing spree. He finds the guy that gave Rose the information for the battered women's shelter, and they don't show what happened, but again, he's a biter. They talk about afterwards that he was bit over 80-something times, and that and when you follow Norman the next day, his jaw and teeth really, really, really hurt. So that's fucked up. Other than that, so he's tracking her down. He finds out that the battered women's shelter is having a picnic with the Indigo Girls? Is that a real band? Indigo Girls. That is a folk rock duo. So just two of them. They're very much still an active band 40 years later. And yeah, okay. Well, sorry, I don't want to Google too many things, but yeah. Melissa Etheridge, I've heard that name. Is that her? No. Oh, no. Amy Ray and Emily Saylors are the Indigo. Anyway, the Indigo Girls are playing. Woo! With their classic hit, Closer to Fine. No, wait, yeah, that would have been out by then. Power of Two would have been out by then. And, of course, Shame on You. Wait, yeah. No, wait, those aren't even... Anyway, fuck, what am I doing? Kid Fears is another song. So Indigo Girls were playing. He thinks that she's going to be there. And then it gets to probably... I know I'm skipping around. These aren't going to be super in-depth. This is just to be like, you know... God, maybe I don't want to ruin this, because if you're interested in reading it... You know what? I'm going to get to what I thought was like kind of like an extremely like gripping point, and then I'm going to stop there. And if this has interested you at all, and it's not too much of a spoiler that I've given you already, which I haven't, there's a lot that I haven't covered, then maybe you'd like to go read it. But because this actually is one of Stephen King's few books that he's written that doesn't have a movie or TV show adaptation. It's got nothing. It's just a book. It's an audiobook, and it's a book. Book. And it's... So, I mean, I think they're going to maybe make a TV show down the line. It would definitely make for a good one, especially in today's climate. You know, people want to see these kind of true crime-esque feeling things. And in this particular book, it's not too supernatural until the very end. So, I mean, like, it's a grounded kind of, you know, story, and then it does get a little bit, well, a lot of bit, over the top. But not in a way that was jarring or unpleasant. It's just that if I were to start going into the crazy stuff involving the painting now without the buildup that he has going into it, then it would just sound nutty. But if you read the book and you know, it all adds up, makes sense. So, the day of the picnic, I think, is one of the best written Stephen King, high adrenaline, like, edge of your seat sort of, I don't know if scene is the right word, part, chapter. But it's, so you have Norman. He finally has figured out where the picnic is. Or, I mean, like, he thinks, okay, I'm this big dude. How do I differentiate myself so like they don't know me? He's a cop, right? So he knows what people look for. So he shaves his head. He gets a wheelchair. He puts like a feminist bumper sticker on the back, and he gets this like crazy punk jacket or whatever, like biker jacket. And he goes to the picnic. The problem is that he gets there too early. Like Rose isn't there yet. And then the other problem, for him at least, is that somebody recognizes him as the husband right in the middle of the picnic. Now, this is a picnic at a fairground with a ton of people around, and you now have Norman boxed in, this crazy fucking guy. And I think I'm going to leave it there, because he gets recognized by one of the women of the battered women's shelter, and she's a badass. So, and that's not even the end of the book by any means. There's still quite a bit to come after that. So, yeah, fuck it. I'll keep this episode around 20 minutes. General thoughts. Let me give this a grade that's not our stupid movie grade that we have on the podcast, which I'm still trying to come up with a way to change. Let me just think about this for a second. How would I want to grade books? I mean, I might just do a Stephen King based. Okay. Let's do... Oh, God, this isn't interesting. Let me pause this while I think about this for a second. Okay, I couldn't think of fucking shit. I paused that for about way longer than I thought. Anyway, I'm going to base this on... and this is only not even that funny, unless you read the book, but I'm going to base this on... Out of 5 yogurts in the fridge. That's Gerts in the fridge, if you get what I'm saying. out of five, this gets a full five yogurts. Full five Gerts in the fridge, for sure. By the way, Rose Matter, that's a color. Didn't know if you knew that. It's not the name of the character. I mean, it is the name of a character, but Rose Matter is a color. It's like a pinkish red. So that's kind of cool. I bet you the color of the book is Rose Matter. It should be. At least the audiobook cover was. So anyway, yeah, that's the first episode of Wednesday Night Book Club. I'm going to keep it brief. Maybe I'll go further later. Maybe I won't. Who knows? Anyway, thanks for joining me. Let me know in the comments, because I am going to put this on YouTube, if you enjoyed the book, what I should read next. If you have any thoughts that I didn't cover, you know, tell me if this gets you to want to read the book, or if I gave away too much information. Maybe I'd do a little bit less next time. But anyway, let me know. Oh wait, wrong one. This is the worst AI song I've come up with. Have a good night, guys.
It's Wednesday Night Book Club with Andy Weiss. It's Wednesday Night Book Club with Andy Weiss. On a rice, the Night Book Club with Andy Weiss.
Okay, that's enough. All right, bye, guys.